by Jay Newman, Holiday Ninth Ward Garden Leader. The colored cover page of the July 76 issue of the Ensign magazine shows a beautiful basket of vegetables, tomatoes, lettuce, carrots, squash, and other garden items. On the inside of the cover is an excerpt from the April 76 General Conference talk of President Spencer W. Kimball, calling upon Latter-day Saints everywhere to strengthen and beautify the home with renewed effort in food production, preservation, storage, the production and storage of non-food items, and the fix-up and clean-up of homes and surroundings. Then he said, "We wish to encourage you to grow all the food that you feasibly can on your own property. Berry bushes, grapevines, fruit trees. Plant them if your climate is right for their growth. Grow vegetables and eat them from your own garden. Even those residing in apartments or condominiums can generally grow a little food in pots and planters. Study the best methods of providing your own foods. Make your garden neat and attractive, as well as productive. If there are children in your home, involve them in the process with assigned responsibilities. Another commendable thing about gardening is the exchange of products by neighbors and the fostering of fellowship and neighborliness." In this same issue of the Ensign is a heart-rending story by Patricia Wood entitled Tim's Onions, which I recommend to you. This has to do with the difficulties encountered by a family in holding regular family home evenings and caring for their vegetable garden because of less important activities taking precedent, and how Tim, a fourth grader who had inherited the onions to care for, finally by his faithfulness in trying to weed and water the rest of the neglected garden assigned to other family members, as well as take care of his own onions, the family was brought to its senses. A short time ago, Robert Hassel, vegetable crop specialist of the Cooperative Extension Service, Utah State University, addressed a letter to the ministers of the various churches and to the bishops of all wards in the valley, offering to provide facts and training for all people who desire to grow a vegetable garden. He proposed that a church or ward member be designated to attend an hour and a half meeting each month during the planting and growing season to receive helpful tips on the subject and then pass the information on to other amateur gardeners in his or her area. The first meeting was held at the Extension Services Salt Lake County office on March 3rd. Having been selected by our bishopric as ward garden leader, I attended. The information I provide you was gained at this meeting, supplemented by the results of additional research. I hope it will be helpful. The first topic I wish to mention has to do with soil analysis. The soil in our immediate area seems to be made up primarily of clay or sand. A large quantity of organic matter is needed to produce a really good garden. Manures, peat moss, and composted material are the best sources. Of course, additional fertilizers may also be needed. Heavy clay needs organic matter to break it up and make it easier to work. Sand needs it to hold the soil particles together. Organic matter helps soil hold water. This is most important this year. You may find it advisable to have an analysis made of your soil. I plan on having one made right away. This can be done by obtaining soil samples from the top 6 inches of the soil in 6 different locations in your garden. Put the samples in a pint container after it is dried out and take it to the Salt Lake County office of the Cooperative Extension Service, 444 South, 300 West in Salt Lake City. Furnish your name, address, and zip code. Pay $4. The sample will be sent by the Extension Service to the Utah State University, where the analysis will be made. The university will write you direct, advising the composition of your soil and what nutrients need to be added to correct deficiencies. Next is the matter of fertilizers. Nitrogen fertilizer is always needed in our gardens, not only to promote growth, but to help bacteria break down large quantities of organic matter. 1 to 2 pounds of good nitrogen per 100 square feet of garden area is desired each spring. Ammonium sulfate and ammonium nitrate are 2 good sources of nitrogen. Phosphate is a necessary ingredient too for the soil, particularly for tomatoes. Apparently the soil in this area does not require the addition of much potash. All commercial fertilizers are labeled by the percentages of nitrogen, phosphate, and potash they contain. There are many formulas, such as 19-3-1 or 6-10-4 and so on. But the listings are always in the same order, with nitrogen first, phosphate second, and potash last. If the fertilizer you are using has a high percentage of nitrogen in it, it is probably intended for lawns rather than to fertilize growing vegetable gardens. In using high percentages of nitrogen fertilizers on gardens, read the directions on the package carefully and do not over-fertilize. One way to apply dry fertilizers is to mix with soil before planting. Spread the fertilizer evenly over the soil at the rate called for on the fertilizer bag or box and work into the soil with spade or power tiller. Another way is to apply in narrow bands of furrows 2 to 3 inches from the seed and 1 to 2 inches deeper than the seeds or plants are to be placed. Care must be taken to make sure the fertilizer is not too close to the seeds, or the roots of the seedlings may get burned. After spreading the fertilizer in the furrows, cover with soil. A good idea is to stretch a string where the seed row is to be planted. for plants widely spaced, such as tomatoes, fertilizers can be placed in bands 6 inches long for each plant, or in a circle around the plant. Make the bands 4 inches from the plant base. A third way is to apply fertilizer as a side dressing after the plants are up and growing. Scatter on both sides of the row 6 to 8 inches from the plants. Rake it into the soil and water thoroughly. Some other good pointers are to cut down on the rate of commercial fertilizers when manure is used. Follow up dry fertilizer applications with a good watering to dissolve the fertilizer and carry it into the root zone. In using liquid fertilizers, be sure to follow the label instructions. Now as to soil preparation. A reliable source on fundamentals has advised that the only quick way to change either a heavy clay soil or a light sandy soil to a substitute for a rich loam is through the addition of organic matter. Not just a little organic matter, but lots of it. The addition of organic matter, that is, compost, peat moss, manure, sawdust, or ground bark, makes clay soils more mellow and easier to work. It opens up tight clay soils, improves drainage, and allows air to move more readily through the soil, warming it up earlier in the spring. In light sandy soils, organic matter holds moisture and nutrients in the root zone. The quantity of organic matter must be large enough to physically change the structure of the soil, and enough means that at least one-third of the final mix is organic matter. To add this amount, spread a layer of organic matter over the soil at least 2 inches thick and work it into the depth of 4 inches. Make the addition of organic matter when preparing the soil for planting. Spread the normal amount of fertilizer over the organic material. This would be 4 to 5 pounds of 5-10-10 or 6-10-4 per 100 square feet. Till it into the soil very thoroughly. If you use peat moss, add ground limestone at the rate of 5 pounds per 100 square feet. If raw sawdust that has not been composted is used, extra nitrogen should be added to keep the bacteria from robbing the soil while breaking down the sawdust. When setting out a few plants of tomatoes, eggplants, peppers, melons, cucumbers, or zucchini, the preparation of the soil in individual planting holes is a good way to make the most of the addition of organic matter. Dig a hole for each. Make a 50-50 mix of the topsoil and peat moss and backfill the mix. For good measure, put in a shovelful of manure at the bottom of the hole. Other tips are to prepare your soil seed bed early this year. Plow, spade, or till the soil as soon as the ground is dry enough. Conserve moisture by working and smoothing the ground as soon as possible after it is plowed or tilled. You will have to be extremely careful and not waste water. Plant less seed in each row. Allow each plant more room to develop its full potential. Make sure no weed growth is allowed in the garden. Even small weeds use water. Now let's say something about seeding and transplanting. The old rule of thumb is to plant seed at a depth equal to 4 times the diameter of the seed. This rule, and even the specific depth listed in the planting chart, must be used with judgment. In wet weather or in heavy soils, plant shallow. If soils are light and sandy, and dry weather is anticipated, plant deeper. Several crops, such as parsnips, carrots, parsley, and to a lesser degree lettuce, benefit by very shallow planting, 1/4 of an inch or less. Such shallow planting of seeds with a long germination period calls for close attention to sprinkling to prevent the soil surface from ever becoming dry. There are several ways to prevent drying out and crusting of the soil surface. Some gardeners cover soil rows with burlap sacks and sprinkle as necessary. However, with sacks, there is always the danger of forgetting them for a few days when they should have attention. A light sprinkling of a mulch, such as sawdust, will prevent crusting and reduce the frequency of sprinkling. As the plants start their growth, a mulch, such as straw, put on the surface around the plants will help prevent evaporation of water from the ground surface. Black polyethylene film is considered an excellent mulch material, particularly in growing tomatoes, melons, and squash. These all prefer a warm soil, and this plastic is very effective in conserving moisture, controlling weeds, and stimulating growth. A hole must be made in the plastic for each plant. Furrows may be made each side of the plastic for irrigating the plants, or a soaker hose may be placed under the plastic. It has been suggested that this method would keep tomatoes, melons, and squash from contact with the soil, thereby eliminating spoilage when they mature. There are possibly disadvantages too, such as being able to cultivate and weed, being unable to cultivate and weed. It was learned from the Extension Service crop specialist that it would be highly desirable this year to plant your hardy vegetables as soon as you can prepare your soil. That peas planted in March will produce 10 times the yield of those planted in May. Onions, lettuce, radish, spinach, turnips, and parsnips will also do well if planted early. He mentioned that if the weather does stay cold after you plant these vegetables, don't worry about them. They won't grow until the weather turns warm again. He said they will grow if the soil is not frozen and will not be damaged if the soil freezes. He cautioned against touching the seedlings while they are frozen, adding that when they thaw out normally, they will not be damaged by the frost. The root crops, such as beans, peas, corn, carrots, and the like, are ordinarily seeded directly where they are to grow. Tomatoes, peppers, and eggplants are almost always set out in transplant size. They are usually available at nurseries or may be started from seed in peat moss jiffy cups in the sunny window of your home. These cups may be purchased in the garden departments of chain stores or at nurseries. You can place these peat moss cups right in the soil without disturbing the transplant. Using the transplant method actually lengthens the growing season by 1 or 2 months. It is hoped that the information furnished will be of help to you in your vegetable gardening.